And now we'll hear it from Luke's perspective, the 21st chapter of Luke's gospel. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The offering is an interesting beast as it comes into worship. I think in the book we just finished on Wednesday morning, Gomes describes the offering as the most dramatic part of the worship service, which is not the way I would have put it, but as he describes it, watching the dance is interesting. When we were in seminary, a friend of mine was pastoring a small country church that, despite the growth of Atlanta, has remained a small country church. There's about four families, and they do everything, and their kids do everything, and their grandkids do everything as well, so it kind of works out. There's a bunch of them. But when he changed the order of service from the style we've done today to the style we normally do, one of his elders said, "So, if the offering comes after the sermon, does that mean I give based on how much I like the sermon?" It was a little education that needed to happen there. But that's why we had you do what you did today, is to get a feel for what it was Jesus and the disciples were doing during the telling of the widow's mite, because often we just tell it because we've told it. I mean, how many times have we told this story in church over the years? There is something different to watching people come forward. What did you guys see? Not everybody comes forward when their row is gestured to, do they? Some people come up later, Lenita. Yeah, some people won't come forward unless they have something to put in the plate. Some people will find something to put in their plate. Tom is very happy he's not here today. There's a lot more loose change than normal in the plates. Also, you had to move. To give something to God, you had to move. It didn't just come to you magically and slide down. And so, be thinking about that feeling as we explore the widow's mite a little more. The church has talked for years about a tithe, and we have argued for years about a tithe. Is that net or gross we're talking about tithing on? Does that include Christmas gifts? What about what I got for my bonus? It isn't included, is it? Is this pre-tax or post-tax dollars? Well, 10%, I don't know. That seems like an awful lot. Maybe God would be happy with less. Now, statistically, God probably isn't happy with less, but God's church has had to make do with less. So, nationally, regardless of denomination, theology, income level, anything else, age of the church, age of the building, churches get by on 2.4 to 2.8% giving. Which means that if, on average, if every church in this country went from what we're giving to tithing, our budgets would quadruple. And that should blow your mind. At the church I was serving in Salt Lake City, they had somebody fancy do their demographics before the pastor nominating committee got going, and so I knew what the average income of the congregation was, and of course I knew what the giving was. And we had a healthy budget that Gene would love to see us operate out of here. We had a budget of just under $300,000 annually. And if everybody had been tithing, our budget would have been just under $1 million. So yeah, wow. So the funniest thing is that we spend all this time debating 10%, and it's kind of like us debating if Bob and I could really qualify for the NBA. Because we're not in the same league when it comes to giving as what we talk about being in. And that's one of the challenges. Now, this passage puts something in front of us that we don't like to think about. That it's not purely the amount that we give that impresses people. I mean, the rich people, it says, put in a lot of money. And Jesus isn't really commenting on that. He's commenting on the widow who gave, well, I mean, it says they're worth a penny each. I mean, if somebody puts 2 cents in the plate today, how excited are we? Right, I mean, financially, that's not very exciting. And that's the problem, is we always think about this as a financial thing, not a spiritual thing, not a faith thing. It's a faith thing. So, what do you do? What do we do? Okay, first of all, imagine, because I got you going already. Imagine that we give at 2.5%, that we're just average. I mean, we all know we're better than average, right? So, okay, I'll give it to you. We're better than average. So we give at, say, 3.3%. And we give about $100,000 a year. So if we gave at 10%, we would have, somebody out there is good at math. Okay, so 300,000. 300,000. Think about that for a moment. All the mission we could do. I was thinking about all the pastoral paychecks you could set, right? That's the challenge, isn't it, is that we all think about different things. But I think Marna's got the right thing, is to dream and imagine about what we could do for the world, not just for us. There's another piece to this widow's piece that gets really, really difficult for us to do. And it's that Jesus says she puts in everything she has to live on. Now, they're not really a cash economy the way we are in first century Judea. So she's probably got a son or a brother-in-law, and she's got food, and she's got a place to live. But what she has said is that financially, she is dependent on her faith. Not on her income, and not on charity, and not on work, and not on somebody to give her money to come forward to put in the plate, right, Lenita? Yes, I did catch that. I don't think that's how we imagine ourselves today. I think we imagine ourselves as we're the ones who make the money, so we're the ones who decide how we get to spend the money. And that we need to have this much set aside so we can do this and do this and do this and do this. We've had this conversation before, that on our faith journeys, we talk at the beginning and we give God what's left, if there's anything left. And eventually, as we mature, we put God first. But often we still put God in the plan of our plan. And we don't always recognize that God's already put us in God's plan. Every so often, it doesn't happen as often as it used to. It was kind of nice when people were this delusional. Somebody will say, well, you're a pastor, you must have it made. I'm like, They think we're all the ones who fly in Learjets places. when it comes down to a lot of things, if you're in it for the money, you're in it for the wrong reasons. Because money is fading. It's fleeting. I bought shoes for the girls last week. Money is definitely fleeting and fading. So the question is not how much money do we have, it's what do we do with what we have. What the widow does is an act of faith. She says, I have what I need, and even if I don't, God will use this to make everything work. That's a heck of a lot of trust in God. Are we there, or do we struggle with getting there? I mean, if we struggle, we're in good shape with a bunch of other biblical characters. We just talked a couple weeks ago about Jacob. God appears to him right here and has a conversation with him, and then he still goes, well, if. So we're in good company. But I think it's fascinating that out of all the times, and there's not that many, when Jesus talks about money, he talks about giving it away more than he talks about stockpiling it. He talks about knowing when it's appropriate to make the huge expenditure, the woman with the jar of nard. Remember that conversation? We could have done all this with that money. Talks about the widow, highlights the widow. He's not talking about looking at them giving out of their 401k and their stock benefits program. That would have been a fascinating discussion in first century Judea. And so I think one of our challenges as the church is to ask ourselves, because we pray this every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer, is how much do we depend on God for things like our daily bread? How much do we put on God that we have given everything we had to live on? Now, I'm going from, I've already gone from preaching to meddling, so I'm just going to hang out in meddling for a little while. It's not just about money. We are really good about casting our cares on Jesus and then going, oh, but I can handle that. We need practice on this in more than just the financial aspects of it. How many of you like to ask for help? And I better not see a whole lot of hands. How many of you would rather suffer in silence painfully than admit you need somebody to help you get out of bed, go grocery shopping, pay a bill, get from point A to point B? Oh, you troublesome and quarrelsome people, to quote Moses. A huge part of our faith and growing in our faith is being willing to give stuff to God and not take it back. That is the profound act of the widow. She gives it to God, and she's not interested in taking it back. That, I think, is where we need the work. And I think it'll spill over into the financial if we can do it with the spiritual, the emotional, the intellectual, the physical stuff. Man, is it hard to ask for help. Man, is it hard. The funniest thing is, you know, the widow could have done what I trained you how to do. Stir it around, make change out of the plates. You know how it's done. right? But somehow Jesus sees what she's doing. He can see the two small coins. She is not ashamed of what others would consider how little she has to give. In today's America, she is a failure. Yet she is not afraid to walk up to God on the basis of who she is and where she is and give everything. And I think we need to gain some of that. There's a sense of humility in that. And more than that, there is a sense of reality in that. I was teasing Bob earlier because he's one of my basketball guys. Now, he's a Hoosier. We'll sort of forgive him for that. But Bob is much more willing to admit that he's not ready for the NBA than I am, because I still think I can go out and play with the Young Bucks once or twice a week. And the next morning corrects me of that opinion pretty quickly. And half a bottle of ibuprofen convinces me again that I could do it. Are we real with who we are? We all have limits. We all have gifts. We all have strengths. The widow has a financial limit of two small coins. She does not have a giving limit in her heart. As we go out into the world and have a chance to serve at the soup kitchen this week, and I'm having a conversation with one of our strong financial members of the community tomorrow about potentially bringing a program to town that will do a free meal for anybody once a week, every week, copied off of a program that's at First President Harrisburg that's serving 200 people a week, every week. Where are we putting limits that don't exist? And what is our actual reality? I cannot do things I could do when I was 18. It's been a real blessing not to have a children's sermon to get up from the last 2 weeks. But I know what it is to have loved differently from the age of 18. I know what it is to go the distance and to be broken by what happens trying to run the race. And I know what it is to be put back together by the love of Jesus Christ, evidenced by the body of Christ gathered. And while I may not have more disposable income than I had when I was 18, I pay a lot more in taxes. So somewhere I have more income than I did when I was 18. But when I was 18, I thought about what that money bought me. Because I was the only one I had to worry about. Lori was in the picture, but she was several states away, so now, what do I have? I have a wife. I have two kids. I have a church family. I have a swim team. I have a dog. I have three cats. I have a house, which is a money pit, because all houses are money pits. I have listened to the advice of others, and I have not bought a boat. I have gray hair, an ever-growing amount of gray hair. And those mean more than whatever shows up on the W-2 when Gene cuts it in January. Those are the things I don't want to give up. I can find a way to make the other things work. And I think that is the challenge of the widow's mite, is who are we really when we come before God with what we're giving? The challenge in the church is that so often we get older and we can't do what we used to do. And so what I hear is, I can't do anything. Really? I've been here for the rummage sale, ladies. You can't use this I can't do anything card around here. I've been here on church work days. Can't use the can't do anything card. Sure, can we not do what we used to do? But we can do different things. We can do different things. When we come before God with our gifts, our time, our talents, do we come with what we don't have, or do we come with what we have? I beg you to come as the widow. Give out of what you perceive is poverty and see what God can do with it. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.